It's 5:06. You're listening to Central Time on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. I'm Veronica Rickert.
And I'm Rob Ferret. Coming up, we'll talk to a WPR reporter about the safety concerns over crude oil rail transport through Wisconsin.
First, it may not seem like it, but Paul McCartney, Michelangelo, Dr. Dre, and Alan Greenspan have something in common. They're all highly creative people who have found ways to harness their creative power and use it for success.
Now, there's been a lot of research and study into the creative process, but to most of it's still kind of a mysterious force.
Creativity was equally baffling to our next guest until he had the rare luck to spend time with some of the world's most famous music artists. He used that opportunity to study what strokes their creative fires and helps them create some of the most enduring music of modern time.
Tom Sturgis is with us. He's a former senior executive for Universal Music and Chrysalis Music. His new book is Every Idea is a Good Idea. He also teaches a class on the music business at UCLA. Tom, welcome to Central Time.
Hey, Rob, thank you, and thank you, Veronica, as well.
So at the outset, I think a lot of us think of creativity as something that you either have or you don't, and it seems like the mission of your book is to disprove that. Can we all be creative?
I think we all have creativity in us, and sometimes in varying degrees, but the nature of being human is to be creative. You think of back all the years where we had to find a better campsite or hunt a better animal or gather in a better field. We had to see things that weren't there, and that is a key element of creativity, to see things that are not there.
And you've actually taken on the role of a creativity teacher with students in your part of the country. What inspired you to want to teach people how to build their own creativity?
I was doing a good give back. I was working for Shaquille O'Neal at the time, and I was doing part of our community give back, and I ended up in front of a group of 50 inner city, high risk, low income kids. And I threw out a dream to them, and I said, you know, it's possible the group of us could all write a song together and pitch it to Beyonce. And after every one of them stopped falling over, they said, well, how do we do that? And I said, well, we'll start right now. We'll just start creating. And what developed as a song that we could, as a group of seventh graders, could write and pitch to Beyonce became a years-long project where I wrote songs with these kids, constantly emboldening them, giving them techniques and methods for creativity that they could use in all aspects of their lives. It turned out every one of those kids graduated from high school. Every one of those kids got into a four-year college, and all but one graduated from college. And my notes on that process became the basis of this book.
Now, you've spent a lot of time working with musicians and songwriters. They are people, songwriters in particular, who do a lot of creativity. How does a really prolific songwriter learn, develop the ability to turn it on again and again?
This is the central premise of my book, and I think it's an excellent question. For each person, it's a different technique, at least as I identified it. And I'll give you an example, an amazing songwriter named Diane Warren. No matter what happened the night before, every morning at 8:30, she's at her desk creating, no matter what. This is what her idol Irving Berlin did. He went to his office every day at 5. She goes to hers every day at 8:30 in the morning and starts no matter what. Another technique is called the golden hour. And this is where you have about an hour when one of those great ideas hits you. And you have an hour to flesh it out, write it down, make the most of it, because you will never be thinking exactly that way again. You can't leave it till later in the day.
And that reminds me of something else you wrote. Essentially, you say creativity is infinite. It's not something that we run out of. The more we do it, the more we are able to do it.
This is a quote from Maya Angelou, who said that you can never run out of creativity because the more you use, the more you have. And that's true from both a point of view of your brain and the way your brain works. Imagine there's 100 billion neurons trying to connect to one another via 100 trillion synapses. How could that not be a passion-full pot of energy and possibility when it comes time for creating?
We'll get more into how you inspire creativity, how we can learn it. But I think somebody might be listening saying, hey, what's in it for me? I'm not going to be a famous songwriter. I'm not an artist. Why do I need to tap into creativity in my daily life? What do you tell them?
Okay. Okay, here's my idea if that person is listening and driving down Highway 26. My belief is that the more creativity you allow to flourish in your life, the greater that life will be. And whether you are a songwriter, an architect, a dress designer, somebody getting ready to give their high school reunion speech, the more creativity you feel, the better you feel. And this comes, this is a quote from a woman named Allie Willis, who wrote the theme to Friends and Do You Remember for Earth, Wind, and Fire. She said this amazing thing. She said, the path to self-respect goes through creativity. And I think that's the ultimate truth, is that when you are creating, regardless of what it is, the better you feel about yourself and the better you feel about the world around you.
Now, you mentioned Irving Berlin earlier, and you give an example from his life. he was not an accomplished pianist, but he used the piano to write his songs. How did he do it?
So it's a technique, by the way, if we were sitting together. I can teach anybody how to play the piano in 2 minutes so they can play for the rest of their lives, and I have done this on numerous occasions. Irving Berlin only played the black keys. Only the black keys, do, re, mi, sol, la. Those are the only notes, and he worked all his songs around by only playing those. But because he wanted to write in different keys, he had a special crank put on the side of his piano so he could turn the crank and raise the notes of the piano by a whole step or a half step, depending on what he needed to do. It would also challenge his ear in a slightly different way because it was a different key.
Now, what I love about the story, correct me if I've got the moral wrong, it means I don't have to take 20 years of music lessons before I start writing songs. I don't have to study English literature for a decade before I can start writing a book. I can take my skills and work around them.
Yes. You cannot let technology get in your way. And one of the essays I wrote is called Beethoven Couldn't Play the Violin. And I think this is the standout example. Here's a guy who created music for an instrument that changed the way that instrument was played. It made it more popular in the culture. He really helped the violin evolve into the most popular instrument in the world, prior to the guitar, of course. But he could not play that instrument himself. And for his violin concerto, the concerto in D, for instance, he had to bring in the best violin player and say, can you play this thing that I just wrote? And that's how he was able to make so much out of that instrument, because he was always challenging it. And my thought for that person driving down the big highway, they're wondering what's in it for me, is that he wasn't great at it, but that didn't prevent him from creating for it. George Eiffel, the man who built the Eiffel Tower, he was a bridge builder. He just had an idea of building that bridge straight up into the air. And there are many examples of people who create who don't actually aren't actually good at the thing that they're creating for.
Now, you share some exercises to help spark creativity, to help us get started. I'm hoping you could share one or two of them with us. Your first one is the Excellent Question Game.
This is a fantastic exercise. First of all, there's two rules. Number one rule, you ask a question you don't know the answer to. And number two, there are no answers. So the basis of creativity is a thought you've never thought before. So what the Excellent Question Game does is it puts you in, let's say our subject is bees or sunshine or stars, and we just keep asking a question we don't know the answer to, and this automatically inspires new thoughts, new thinking, and each one of those questions is an act of creativity. So let's say you get your meeting started with those questions and then go, okay, so how are we going to do such and such next year, or how are we going to sell more tires, or how are we going to have the best fashion show that anybody's ever seen? Because your minds will all be kicking it around.
So we're actually, in this practical way, firing up the creative side with these questions, and then, what, the creative side keeps working as we're trying
Absolutely.
To solve real problems?
Because we know physiologically that when the brain creates, it actually, this is an unbelievable fact I discovered, it sprays itself with chemicals that excite the neurons and excite the synapses to connect more and more and more. The brain doesn't know what you're thinking about. The same joy that you feel creating a chorus for a hit song or the triumphant theme of a symphony or a little black dress or an archway for a building It's all the same process. The brain can't tell the difference. It's just doing what you've asked it to do.
We're talking with Tom Sturgis. His new book is Every Idea is a Good Idea.
And we'd like you to join the conversation. Do you have a special way of harnessing your creativity? How do you fire it up, especially when it seems to come and go? Or maybe you're looking to rekindle that creative spirit. You can reach us at 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234, or post on the Central Time Facebook page.
We'll continue the conversation and find out how stealing can spark our creativity after a look at some of the latest news with Kristen Durst. This is Central Time. I'm Rob Ferret.
And I'm Veronica Rickert. We're talking about ways to harness creativity, and we want to hear from you. Are you in a field that requires you to be creative? How do you create the right conditions for those light bulb moments to happen? And do you have creative advice or tricks to share? Call us at 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234. Or send us a tweet to Central Time WPR.
Tom Sturgis stays with us. He was a senior executive for Universal Music and Chrysalis Music, where he worked closely with some really big names in the entertainment industry. His new book is Every Idea is a Good Idea. We'll get your calls in just a moment. But Tom, you say that sometimes stealing a little bit from an already existing work of art can be the spark we need to get creative and get past things like writer's block.
I think this is an excellent point, that writer's block is almost a game we play with ourselves when we are feeling a little less than confident in our creative efforts. And the way I look at it, and the studies I did of it, there were writers who would, for instance, take the first line of a great poem and use that as the first line of their song and work from that line as a way of forcing their minds into that certain creative pattern. And Jeffrey Baxter, the lead guitarist of both the Doobie Brothers and Steely Dan, would talk about putting on a Motown record and just playing along with the groove until he felt enough, sort of like a glider being pulled behind an airplane, until he felt like he was ready to fly.
Well, let's get to our callers now at 800-642-1234. We've got George on the line in Racine. George, hi.
Hi. The poet Robert Bly once said that if you sit down in the morning and write the first thing that comes to your mind, it will be a poem. I'd like you to comment on the power of the subconscious and creativity.
What an enormous, enormous concept. I believe that that is an excellent point that you make. And the waking up and just jumping into your creative place before you have a chance for your mind to overthink and start editing and start bringing doubt into the process, I think is an absolutely correct way to proceed with your creativity. Somerset Maugham, the author, was asked once, if he created on a schedule or on the basis of inspiration, and he said, oh, always on the basis of inspiration, which always happens to strike around 9 o'clock most mornings.
You, a little contrasting opinion, the baby face rule from the musician and producer. What does he do?
He does a very interesting thing. His whole game, his world, is creating songs that people can remember. So what he would do is, and I believe he still does this, is if he couldn't remember an idea in the morning, he figured that nobody else would remember it and it possibly wasn't going to be a hit song.
Most of us probably don't have that constant stream of ideas to maybe be that fussy, but I love that story. George, thanks a lot for the call. We've got Greg on the line now and Kadat. Hi, Greg.
Hi.
Oh, what did you want to bring up, Greg?
Well, I'm a musician, and one of the things I do is recording, solo recordings at home, and I wanted to comment on some of what your guest has said so far and how well it works for me. In particular, the stealing concept, I'll frequently be listening to a song, really like the whole song, and decide to borrow part of the bass line, part of the rhythm, something like that, and use that as my starting point for a new composition. And invariably, what I end up with has nothing really in common with the original song. It's just a jumping off point.
Yes, but it also got you started. It helped you get your own momentum underway.
Exactly. Yep. And as a performer on multiple musicians, but master of master of none of them, I also find it handy to just pick up an instrument and start noodling and see what happens. And one final thing, just a neat trick that a friend of mine turned me on to is that this deck of cards called Oblique Strategies. You can download this as a free Android app. And I forget which musical group it was that founded this idea, but it's a deck of cards where you just, if you're stuck, you draw a card. And the cards say all kinds of strange things. Some of them just say, keep on going. Some of them say, try starting at a different place.
Greg, thanks a lot for the call. I think that's Brian Eno's strategy, the oblique strategy cards. Do you like that kind of random way to get the creativity flowing?
I also like, and it makes me think of this interview I did with Sir George Martin. He talked about how the early Beatles wrote, and he made this amazing comment. He said they agreed on two things. Number one, the order of their names on every song. And number two, most importantly, they would never criticize each other's work. They had to just make the next part better.
Hmm. And you also write about collaborating creativity, looking at TV writers. What are the lessons you learned from talking to some head writers from TV shows?
Well, that was my concept, that the most creative place in the world from a group creativity standpoint had to be the writer's room, because there were so many things they couldn't change. They couldn't change the characters, and they couldn't change the set, and they couldn't change the existing storylines, but they still had to be very creative. And I think the pearl of all the interviews to me was James L. Brooks, who created Mary Tyler Moore Show and Taxi and The Simpsons. I mean, just an amazing creator. And I asked him, and he made some very, very interesting comments about the writer's room. And he said it's a democracy, first of all, that if the room likes an idea, everybody will know and it'll be very clear. He said to embrace fear and roll over it. Embrace your fear. He said that you have to trust your process, and believe that there are no mistakes. That even the noodling, like the previous guest was saying, that's part of your process. There is not a mistake in doing that. And then I asked him, what would your advice be to a new creator, somebody who's just getting started? Without a second's hesitation, he says, I would quote Samuel Beckett. And here was the poem he would quote. No matter, try again. Fail again, fail better.
All right, great advice there. We'll go back to our callers now with Jack in Kenosha. Jack, hi.
Hi. I want to tell you, I think this is an extremely important program, and I'd like your guest to comment on two ideas. One is, I think we need a radical change in the way we look at one another as we grow up. For instance, why can't a plumber be a great painter? And why can't the guy who drives the bus also sing opera? But what we do is we pigeonhole people and we make them let go of parts of themselves as they get older and become responsible. The other comment is, I think that the more you get into creativity, the more it helps us heal the wounds of time, or if not heal them, at least overcome them when we do become more who we can be.
Wow, Jack, a lot there, Tom.
Wow, what a beautiful statement. Did you hear him say that? The wounds of time? Oh, I wish I had another draft. I'd put that in there. But he makes a great, great point, and I talk about that a little bit in the book. One of the greatest Impressionist painters, Renoir, Pierre-Auguste Renoir, when he started out, he was a dish painter. He was painting dishes. He was the guy painting the flowers on the food that you were eating. And finally, he saved up enough money. It was thousands of plates that he had to create, and he had enough money to buy his own canvases and his own paints and reinvent, which is what I think is the most important thing, and reinvented himself as a painter.
And the other idea he brought up, as we bring this to a close, don't put ourselves into boxes. We leave the creativity to the pros a lot of times. How do we break out of that, Tom?
Follow your instinct. Follow your dream. If you always wanted to design a building, design it. You always wanted to write a musical, write it. There's no stopping you, the listener, you, the person, from creating. And I think what my book tries to say is, here are some bridges off the island. Here are some ways to think about yourself differently. Here are some ways to approach your creative spirit with so much respect that it can't help but give you back what you seek from it.
Tom, very interesting, very inspirational. Thank you so much for joining us today.
I thank you so much for having me and your guest that called in as well. I so appreciate it.
That was Tom Sturgis. He worked with a lot of top recording artists and songwriters in his career as a music executive. His new book, all about creativity and inspiring creativity in all of us, is called Every Idea is a Good Idea.